Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
What?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Emmy LaRoe is here for a horny chat on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Emmy, you said you just came from the gym. Was there any cruising, or did you keep it pretty chaste?
No cruising on in this gym session, no.
Sure.
Maybe if I wasn't running late, but I actually just came from there, so I haven't even showered or anything.
Okay, king. I'll get into some of those questions about, sure, Musk, about your journey as a bisexual king, your journey as recently launching a certain OF. But before we get into that, I would like to first ask you, the internet tells me you live in Texas, or is it Brooklyn, or what's going on? Where are you?
I live in Brooklyn currently, but I grew up in Texas. So there's a lot of misinformation about me on the internet. I recently looked up my own age on Google to see what came up. I'm actually missing, according to Google, as of 2 years ago.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry that you've gone missing.
I know, it's terrible.
Did something happen 2 years ago that gave the internet this misinformation, or is it just faulty AI?
No, it's just a music video that I launched 2 years ago in which I go missing, and AI, in all its brilliance, has decided to take that as fact.
Well, you have a lot of videos on your TikTok, and that's how I found you. I'm very, very excited to talk to you because your videos are so effortlessly honest and graphic, one might say. But a lot of your videos are about how you say you look a lot older than you really are. So tell the listeners, how old are you and how old do people think you are?
I'm 24. I'll be 25 in April, and people think I'm 35.
Sure.
35 to 37 seems to be what people guess. So
how does that make you feel?
I kind of love it, to be honest. It's like the sort of, I guess, daddyfication of me recently is something that I've been enjoying a lot. So I think as a 24-year-old, I would rather people think I'm older than younger, you know?
Very well said. I've always been a person who's looked like, sure, 36, 40. I'm currently 36, so I kind of feel like, thank God I finally got to the age people think. Mm-hmm. But I was like 16 years old and people thought, they were like, well, you have a full beard.
Do
you feel emotionally, though, like daddy? Or do you, like, let's say, for example, in a bedroom scenario, would you like to be held as baby, or do you prefer to be daddy?
I definitely prefer to be daddy for sure. Yeah.
Well, then if the daddy shoe fits.
Yeah, exactly.
You have such an interesting story because you are a musician, you are a content creator, but you're also bisexual. Can you tell me, Emmy, when did this bisexual identity become something that you embraced? Has it been a recent piece of news, or has it been for years and years?
I think the honest answer to that is years and years, but I think the way that I've identified has definitely fluctuated. I think I knew since I was 6 years old, I had boy crushes and I had girl crushes.
Yeah.
And I was also very fortunate to have been raised by two very liberal, left-wing, accepting parents who my entire life was always like, do what you want, love who you want, like, be who you are, you know? So it was never like a source of confusion for me in that sense. However, the sort of discussion of gender is something that I remember coming into the mainstream as a teenager. I remember being like 15, and up until then, it was like, you're either cisgendered or you're trans. There's like, at least what I remembered it being.
Right.
I remember when non-binary and they, them, and like more fluid discussions of gender sort of came into the mainstream. I remember that very vividly as a teenager. And so there was a period when I was around 14, 15, where I remember thinking, wait a minute, if I'm a guy, but I sometimes like painting my nails, and I sometimes like putting on wigs and like doing more feminine things, then I must be a woman. Hmm. And I had a period for literally like a month, 2 months, where I genuinely thought I was transgender, because I was like, well, I'm a guy that does these things, so that must mean I'm a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because I think when I was growing up, not to say that we're like that crazy different, but like 10 years is enough. I mean, 12 years is enough time. And when I was growing up, very much like you were saying, there was not really even an evolved conversation about gender. But I can see why, if there was more of a conversation around gender identity being more of a spectrum, when you yourself are discovering who you are, I would have had the exact same thoughts, because I too, when my mom would go to get her manicures done, I would sit next to her and put some, I would only do one of my nails because I didn't want to be too gay.
Of course.
But I'm sure that gender would have come into it. I would put my towel on my head, like a beach towel.
I did the same thing.
Come on now. So let's now cut to now. We're sitting with Emmy LaRoe on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Are the pronouns he, him? Is she a trans queen? Who is Emmy LaRoe?
No. The pronouns are very much he, him. It was when I went to my first like gay straight alliance meeting in high school, a couple months after that. That was when I heard non-binary for the first time, and they, them for the first time. And we would go around at the beginning of the meeting and say our pronouns. And I was like, what the fuck are pronouns? Like, what's going on? And that's when I realized, oh, I'm actually allowed to just be a man and do these things. You know what I'm saying?
And thank God. And thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we also shout out for a second your parents, your beautifully open parents? We always want to shout out the good ones, and it sounds like they did a great job. Where was this gay straight alliance, though? Was this were you growing up in Texas?
This was in my high school in Texas, yeah.
Is it Austin? Yeah. Was that where it is?
It was Austin, Texas,
which explains some of the liberalness.
Which, within what Texas is kind of its own thing.
Right.
It almost feels like a smaller version of L.A., like a section of L.A. broke off and like migrated to Texas, and that's
what your parents like hippies? Are they creatives? Are they just good people? Why are they so open-minded?
I mean my dad was raised Catholic and very conservative. He had very conservative Catholic parents. That was not his beliefs. My dad is also a writer and a journalist, and like kind of similar to me, grew up in a very small town in Mexico, not in Texas. And then he turned 18, like ran away to the big city, Mexico City, to like be a journalist and be a writer and, you know, sort of be himself.
Yeah.
My mom is not an artist career-wise, but my mom is very creative. Like, my mom loves to do things with her hands. She's very talented with like clay and with like knitting and drawing, and is like a good singer as well. So
this makes sense. They're very much like plugged into what matters, which is expressing yourself authentically, period.
Which has
been so cool to see how you've embraced that, because I think part of the reason so many people follow you on TikTok is because you seemingly say a lot of things off the cuff. Even your videos talking about how you're about to do your morning jack off. Yeah. And you say, you know, let's be spiritual. Let's not rush that. I'm going to wait till the paywall goes up to ask about lubes of choice, pornographic materials of choice. But before we go paywall, let's get into your first boy kiss. As this is a gay ass podcast and you're living your bisexual dreams, when was the first time you were able to smooch with a guy and then even go further?
First time I kissed a guy was my junior year of high school. It was a friend of mine. It was like, he, me, and this other guy were like the only three gay guys in my school, basically. Uh-huh. Or at least openly gay guys, queer guys in my school, right?
So you were out as a bi guy?
I was out as bisexual. There was a period where, you know, even though it was Austin, Texas, I was bullied a lot in high school.
Oh, I'm sure.
And especially by the guys. And, you know, puberty is a really weird time because you don't know who you are yet. And so you kind of just believe the things that people tell you about.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so people would call me gay. People would call me, you know, a faggot, essentially. And so it was like, I kind of was like, okay, maybe I am gay. Maybe I don't actually like women, which was crazy because I did. And I knew that I did. But it's like you hear something long enough, it becomes true.
Yeah.
So there, I think like junior year and senior year, I was like, I don't even know what I am anymore. I don't know what's going on anymore. And it was like, I didn't lose my virginity till senior year of high school. So I also was like, not really sure sexually where I fit in at that time.
Was that with a girl or a guy?
My first, like my, when I lost my virginity, it was with a girl.
Yeah.
It was with a girl, but my first sexual experience was with a guy. And it was this thing that happened junior year of high school. This friend of mine invited me over to his place to like watch a movie. I was under the impression that there was going to be other people there. Unbeknownst to me, this guy had had a crush on me for a long time and was kind of just like trying to get me alone. So we went over and we were watching Scary Movie 2, I believe, on
Classic.
The couch.
One of the greats.
Yeah. One of the greats. Yeah. One of the great movie franchises. And eventually he goes in and we start making out, and then he like went down on me, and that was my first sexual experience and also like first time kissing or doing anything with a guy.
How did it and feel remember... to first kiss a guy? Because a lot of us talk about the sort of electricity of it, but I'm curious for someone like you who was grappling with his identity and his expression, like, did it feel electric?
In the moment, it did. In the moment, it felt very much like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Like, it was something that I had only fantasized about for years, and it was just now finally happening. And then I remember as soon as it ended, and as soon as I left his place, feeling the most immense guilt. I remember for like a week afterwards, I couldn't eat. Like, I remember not being able to sleep. I remember like being up in bed, like shaking, my whole body just shaking with fear and with guilt of like, what have I done? Why did I do that? Like, should I have done that? That was wrong. Not because of my parents or anything, just because I inherently had this, I guess, internalized homophobia.
Well, you'd also been bullied, you know? And called a fag and
exactly
given and shit so, from your what do people call kids you go to school with? They're obviously not your colleagues. Your fellow
classmates.
Students. Thank
your
you.
Classmates.
Your classmates are giving you shit. The world is giving queer people shit. So it makes sense why you're basically on the verge of a panic attack at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly, you saying that just taught me that it's probably the reason why I did not have my first boy kiss until I left my hometown. Because I think I wasn't ready for it. And I think that you clearly were, but it was testing your limits. And I just want to also say that you not knowing if you were gay or straight or what, I think speaks to the idea that queer people growing up are trained not to trust our guts. You know, it's like, and that's in my 30s, I've been really working on hearing what my body is saying and honoring it and not doubting it in any way. And I think that, that really resonates with me. So was the blowjay of the first boy moment fully welcomed by you, or was it, do you think, too much too fast?
I have to say it was a little bit of both. There was a part of me that was like, oh, this is so great, like I really want this to happen. And there was another part of me that the whole time was kind of on autopilot and had this sense of like, should I be doing this right now? Is this right? Is this correct? I also, there was a part of me that was thinking, I had never thought about him that way before until that day. You know, I didn't have those feelings for him, and he had been pining for me this entire time. So I think it was also like he wanted it more than I did. And I think there was a part of me that felt also guilty that like I was maybe, I don't know, like maybe using him or maybe giving him the wrong impression, you know? And it's, I mean, we did actually, not sort of because of what happened that day, but like a couple weeks later sort of kind of went apart and like didn't happen. I wouldn't call it a falling out, but we kind of did sort of stop being friends a little bit after that. You know, I was, he was like the total opposite of who I was at the time. He was like, I know who I am and I don't care what anyone says about it. And I really admired that about him.
Yeah.
And like a lot of my queer, like very, very openly queer friends in high school, who it was like, even in that environment where there was so much bullying going on and like the staff never took it seriously ever, you know? And, you know, there was a teacher who ran the GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance, Mr. Nutter, who shout out to him. He was very openly gay.
Incredible name, by the way.
Incredible name. It had to
Mr.
be
Mr. Nutter?
Mr. Nutter, yeah. You really can't make that shit up, but
thank you, Mr. Nutter, for starting the Gay Straight Alliance, or at least leading it.
Yeah,
and I hope all of your students felt a part of your nutting. your comfort and your nutting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he would show up to class in like stiletto heels and like the full getup. And
come
it
on,
was
Mr.
incredible.
Nutter. Oh, wait, the friend or Mr. Nutter?
Mr. Nutter.
Come on, Mr. Nutter.
Would show up to teach AP English 3 in full stiletto heels and everything, you know? And
in Texas?
I just remember
in the state
of
Texas.
In the state of Texas.
That's
yeah.
bravery, Mr. Nutter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had two pet ferrets. He was a very interesting
yeah,
and fascinating guy. But I just remember feeling such admiration for this friend of mine and for people like Mr. Nutter and other friends of mine, because I wasn't like that. I couldn't be like that. I was that kid that I wore the same black hoodie and ripped jeans to school every day, no matter how hot it was outside, because I was just so insecure and like wanted to hide. And I would sit in the back of the bus and like blast heavy metal in my headphones
sure.
and just like not talk to anyone. Like that was who I was. And this
were you
friend
super
of mine,
tall? Were you this tall in high school? Did you feel like you were taking up too much space, but you didn't want to?
Yes, I've been taller my entire life.
Because you're currently, what, 6'5"?
6'5", yeah.
Damn.
Even as a baby, I was like unusually long. And I've always been the tallest in my class. I've been 6'5 since sophomore year of high school, pretty much. So I always felt this kind of bull in a china shop,
yeah,
you know, thing. And so I think I just, you know, this friend of mine, he was like, he didn't care and he didn't give a shit. And he was like, I don't care what anyone thinks. And I was like, but I do though. You know, I really do. I get bullied enough as it is. Like I was not ready to like exacerbate that even more. I
yeah.
just wanted to get through high school.
Well, Emmy, what you were
graduate.
Doing was surviving, hon. You were
yeah.
just trying to get through, but it seems
yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
you know, you graduated. Where did you go? What was after high school for you?
So after high school, I studied music, business, performance, and technology at Austin Community College for 2 years.
Shout out.
Which, shout out to anyone, if you're interested in music, like, talk about a great music school that is not going to fucking rob you blind. You know what I'm saying? Like, incredible. I learned so much there. Incredible program. But I studied that for 2 years. Pandemic happened my fourth semester that I was there. And then it was like 2019 through early 2021. I kind of just like worked two jobs, worked the Olive Garden and Outback Steakhouse, saved a bunch of money, and then came to New York in 2021.
Here. That is a brave soul going straight from a pandemic college situation, working at some of the greatest American chains, and then packing your bags and going to Nueva York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so on this series, I think we're gonna get into the horniest part of this, but it's really interesting to hear about sort of your backstory, your herstory, as it were. But we talk about the word slut here as something mm-hmm. that is a positive word, something we, mm-hmm. we, you know, we are reclaiming our sexuality, we are celebrating our horny selves, which you seem to do. But does the word slut, do you identify with that word? Is that you or is that not you?
No, I've never thought about that before until now. I'm inclined to say yes. Yeah, I think my gut is telling me yeah.
And I celebrate you, Emmy. I celebrate you and your slutty gut.
Thank you.
So since we have now the segue into sluttiness, you have so many great videos about sex, hooking up. In fact, one of your TikToks say that you think all straight guys should have their dick sucked by a gay guy. As someone who has been with men and women and in between, do you say from personal experience that the blowjobs you receive from men are higher in quality than in women? For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing. And you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you. Bye.